This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد إن شاء الله we will continue from in عمدة الأحكام and this is the hadith number 66. The hadith number 66 is a hadith وعنه أو عنه means when from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه because this is the previous hadith is from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه also who said قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أثقل صلاة على المنافقين صلاة العشاء وصلاة الفجر. Indeed the heaviest, the most difficult. Athqal, it means heavy. And heavy here means it's difficult. And the most hard, the difficult prayer upon the munafiqeen, salat al-isha, is isha prayer. Wa salat al-fajr. Then he says, وَلَوْ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا فِيهِمَا. If the people would know what is in it, لَا تَوْهُمَا وَلَوْ حَبُوَا. They would have come even if they were to just a crawl, if they had to crawl. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّمْتُ أَنْ أَمُرَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. And I wanted to order that the prayer be called for. فَتُقَامْ. I mean, that I wanted to order that the prayer be called for. ثُمَّ أَمُرَ رَجُلًا فَيُصَلِّيَ بِالنَّاسِ. And then I would order someone to lead the people in prayer. ثُمَّ أَنْتَلِقُ مَعِي. ثُمَّ أَنْتَلِقُ مَعِي بِرِجَالٍ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. And some firewood, to a people who لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, that who don't come and pray with us. فَأُحَرِّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ بُيُوتَهُمْ بِالنَّارِ. And I would burn their houses down with fire. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, أَثْقَلُ صَلَاةٍ. أَثْقَل means the heaviest. And this is, of course, this is the أَثْقَلُ صَلَاةٍ. This is مُبْتَدَى in الصَّلَاةِ. Here, صَلَاةٍ is the subject. So the heaviest of the prayers. And he says, الصَّلَاةِ here, أَثْقَلُ صَلَاةٍ, meaning of all the prayers, it is صلاة العشاء والفجر. And so he mentioned two prayers. And these two prayers are the two prayers that are at the end of the day, the beginning and at the end, right? The beginning and at the end. Why? And he says, أَثْقَلُ صَلَاةٍ عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ. It is most difficult upon the hypocrites. Why? Why the hypocrites though? Why are the hypocrites, why is it so difficult for the hypocrites? لِأَنَّهُمْ إِنَّمَا يُصَلُّونَ لِيُرَاءُ النَّاسِ. Because when they pray, they only pray to show off to other people. They only pray to show off to other people. And during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Salat al-Isha and Salat al-Fajr, during the messenger in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no opportunity for someone to see you because you can't show off. Fajr and Isha, you can't show off. Why? Because during Fajr it's too dark. You don't know, you can't see people's faces. Remember, we have lights, alhamdulillah. We take it for granted. During the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no light in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So imagine no light at all. See, if we were to turn off all our lights right now in the masjid, what would happen? What would you see? Would you be able to recognize, see faces? You would just know that there's a person there. You would barely see them. You would barely see them. And so it's very, very dark. So those who come, you don't know who came and who didn't come. Unless they're like really close and you hear their voices, you wouldn't know who that person was. And so a munafiq that comes to the masjid, they come because they want people to see them. Like, look, I'm here. I'm praying with you guys, right? But there's that purpose and that reason is not there when it's dark, because when they come or they don't come, nobody knows whether they came or not. And so during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's a prayer that's in the dark. And that's another thing also. You know, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed Fajr, Maghrib, and Isha, when he would pray, he would turn around and he would face the people. When he prayed Dhuhr and Asr, he would face the right side. He would turn right. But he wouldn't face directly to the companions. When he finished, he would turn. That's why you see some of the scholars have mentioned, oh, after prayer, do you face the people or do you face the right, turn your right? And you see some people turning to the right side. But especially, I don't know if you've, I don't know in Somalia, but in Southeast Asia, the Shafi'is. When the Shafi'is, when they finish prayer, where do they face? Always on the right side, right? The same one, because that's the madhab. The madhab is when you finish prayer, you turn towards the right. Because there are narrations, but there's narrations that he faced the front also. So how do you reconcile between the two? You reconcile between the two because we see that the Prophet ﷺ faced the right side when it was Dhuhr and Asr. Why? Because there were women in the back. There were women in the back. In the daytime, when you can see, you have to understand the women, they prayed. So the Prophet ﷺ facing the congregation, he would see everybody. He would see the men and the women. And so instead of looking straight, he would turn towards the right side. And that's why when you're able to see. But at nighttime, you don't have that problem anymore. You can have the woman sit, because the people in front of you, you can barely see. So how about the woman in the back? You can't see them. So it's okay to face the people. So some of the scholars have said the default is that you face the people. You face the people, unless there's something that, you know, like if the women are praying in the back, then you face towards the right. So other scholars says, you know, Dhuhr and Asr all the time, face the right always. So you always face the right. But wallahu a'lam, if there's no woman, just face the people, right? If there are women, no. If there are women praying in the back, then you don't want to face the back. So, and also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would turn around, he would say, right, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabarak ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Then he would turn around. He didn't turn around right away. But by the time that he had turned around, most of the women, they would have already left. Already. But just in case, there may be one or two women, because sometimes, you know, some people take a little bit longer than others, or they're still on their way out. Right? And some women still stay there, but the majority of the women during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they left immediately after the prayer. And of course, they had their own door. There's a door for women and the door for men, so that there wouldn't be, you know, you're walking and the sister says, oh, wait, I have to get away. No, there's a door for men and there's a door for women. And so it's okay to pray in the same hall. But if there's a place, you know, for women specifically, then it's even, you know, if that's the case, especially during our time, then it's okay. It's actually better, inshallah. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid was very, very dark. And when it's very dark, the hypocrites, when they come, there's no benefit for them. Why do they pray? They don't pray because Allah ordered them to pray. They pray because they just want to show off. They just want to show off. And so another reason why some of the scholars have mentioned is because Salat al-Fajr is at the beginning of the day. At the beginning of the day, that's the beginning of the time when you wake up. And so the hypocrites are still sleeping. Right? The hypocrites are still sleeping. And why? Because there's nothing to wake them up. Why isn't there anything to wake them up? Because it's not worth it. Showing off to the people is not worth it. But if you have belief in Allah, and you believe that Allah will reward you greatly, and you believe in the unseen, you fear the hereafter, the iman, inshallah, because we want the reward from Allah. We want to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it gives us motivation, even though, you know, none of us here are getting paid, right, to be here. You know, not, we're not getting paid money to be here. We're here because we want to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the reward is greater than anyone can give. And so the hypocrites, then when they're sleeping, they're tired. You know, sleep comes and you need to sleep. So in the morning, it's very difficult for them to wake up. And at nighttime, they're very, you know, it's dark. It's dark. Anytime when it's dark outside, you feel lazy, right? What pushes you to go out? It is your iman. And that's why even when it's dark, you know, when it's raining outside and it's dark, or it gets dark early, it's harder. But then when it's bright outside, you have a little bit more energy. But as soon as it gets really dark, and so Isha is very, very dark. And so you're tired. It's at the end of the day. At the end of the day, you're tired. At the beginning of the day, you're tired. The only thing that's pushing you to come to the masjid is your faith and your iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hypocrites don't have iman. They don't have any of that thing to push in. What do they have? Their only concern is the dunya. The only concern is the dunya and the benefits of this dunya. So the munafiq, al-munafiq is one who waladhi adhhar al-islam wa abtana al-kufr. A munafiq is one who shows people, who tries to appear as if he's a Muslim, but inside he stays inside and he hides the kufr that's inside. And then one of the brother Aurangzeb, he was telling about a person that he was in Afghanistan. He came to a village and he was the whole time, at the beginning, the first few years, a year or two, he was fixing people's shoes in front of the masjid. Like anyone who has shoes that are torn, ripped, you know, he was like a cobbler. So he was fixing people's shoes, right? And he's there. And then afterwards, you know, he's always praying in the masjid, always close to the masjid at the beginning. People say, mashallah, this person is a really good person. Always in the masjid, always praying in the masjid, always in the first line. And so later on, of course, you know, nobody's making the adhan. So he comes and he makes the adhan and everybody's like, mashallah, what a beautiful adhan, like a beautiful adhan. And so he makes this beautiful adhan and people are like, oh, okay, now he can be the muadhin of the masjid, right? And then sometimes the imam doesn't show up. Sometimes the imam doesn't show up. So he leads, he comes forward and he leads the people in prayer. So he's leading the people in prayer, mashallah, like so it's such a beautiful recitation, such a beautiful qira'ah. So he's leading the people in prayer, right? And he's leading the people in prayer. And then, of course, once in a while, people see, oh, this person is, you know, has some knowledge. So in Jum'ah, sometimes he'll give the khutbah. So he continues like this for 5 or 6 years. 5 or 6 years from fixing people's shoes to becoming the khatib. And he's telling people. And this whole time, nobody knows. And all of a sudden, he just disappears. He's gone. And then they find out, he sends a letter and he tells the people, he says, I feel bad for you guys, but I was a spy all the whole time from the British. They had sent me. Like, I was not Muslim. Like, I led you in prayer, I gave the khutbah and everything, but I don't believe in your religion. I was there to take information so that we can attack you. We can find ways how to conquer you. That's all. Like, the whole time. Like, so sometimes you have, that's hypocrisy. Everyone thinks he's a Muslim. No Quran, recite Quran perfectly. Everything, right? Like Quran, they learn, why do they learn? Why do they learn? They learn because the government is giving them money to be a spy. It's not for the sake of Allah, but he's learning. He reads everything. No, he knows. He's learning, and he leaves his hope. He knows that, you know what? He finishes 5 or 6 years. He goes home. He's taken care of. Now they're paying thousands and thousands of dollars a month. right? So, you know, the government, they have money, but they want to infiltrate the Muslims. They want to infiltrate the Muslims. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have hypocrites, right? And so the hypocrites, the most difficult, how do you find, the most difficult, you'll find that during Fajr and Asr, or during Fajr and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he said, during Fajr and Isha, it's hard for them to come. It's hard, the most difficult, but they still try to come. See, these are people who pretend to be Muslims. So those who pretend to be Muslims and the hypocrites are who? They're the ones who try to destroy Islam from the inside. Now they're sending information. So imagine anybody you trust, that person, you think he's a good person. You don't know, your enemies know everything about you in the village. You know, any, why? Because one of them, nobody realizes it. Everybody thinks he's one of the most pious people. Lead people, they trust him so much. And so if you're going to say something immediately, your enemies already know, because he's sending all the information back. He's sending all the information back. And so this is what they're doing in the Muslim communities. Many places, they infiltrate the Muslim community. These are hypocrites. You know, hypocrites. And you might see them in different places, even in Muslim countries. In Muslim countries, they might be, they will study to be scholars of Islam, even. And you know, like there are some people, like for example, when I go to, when I went to Vietnam, sometimes they would send some of these people, agents coming. And there are some people, they know Arabic better than all the Muslims I know in Vietnam. The Arabic, they come and speak to me, Ramadan Mubarak, like, yeah, like, who are you? And like, his Arabic is like perfect. Like, where'd you learn your Arabic? Right? I was like, where did he learn his Arabic? He's not Muslim. He knows Quran. He's not Muslim. And he knows Arabic better than any Muslim that I know in Vietnam. But why? I said, where'd you go study? I said, studied in Egypt. And he starts speaking the Egyptian slang. He says, okay, you want me to speak Fusha till you don't understand that? Speak Fusha, perfect Fusha, right? Speak perfect Fusha. They are communists. They work for the government. But they know Arabic, they know better than the Muslims. And so that guy, he used to study in Egypt. He used to study, they had a whole group that studied in Egypt. Al-Azhar. They studied in Egypt and they studied in Al-Azhar. In Egypt, like subhanAllah. They're not Muslims. And the Muslims don't even know them. The Muslims don't even know them. They come back, and why did they know all this? Because they want to make sure that, you know, they can control the Muslims. You have spies and so forth. And anything about Islam, they already know. Right? And so that's why you have hypocrites. But where does the word hypocrite come from? Right? A hypocrite is someone who shows that he's a Muslim, pretends to be Muslim. But he's not a Muslim. He's not. Not only is he not a Muslim, he is trying to destroy Islam from the inside. Right? You understand? Try to destroy Islam from the inside. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the most difficult prayer for them is the Fajr prayer and the Isha prayer. Why is a munafiq called a munafiq? It comes from the word nafaqa, right? Is a word that describes a tunnel. And where does this word come from? This word comes from an animal in the desert called Jerboa, J-E-R-B-O-A. It's an Arabic Yarbur. What's a Yarbur? Yarbur is a desert rodent. It's like a small, it's a small rat almost. It's not small, but it's like a rat size, but it has a long tail, and it lives in the desert, and it makes its tunnel. The yarbur is very hard to catch. So when they try to catch the yarbur, this is what it is. It usually has a hole, and it lives underground. It digs a hole, and it has a hole. So you come chase it from one side, it goes into that hole. There's another hole that it comes out of, right? But you think it has two holes. So you block off one, and you pour water. What happens? He comes out of, you don't know where it is. He comes out just out of the ground. Like, how does this thing come out of the ground? It's very tricky, deceitful. You're like, whoa, how did he escape? You try to catch it and you can't catch it. How does he escape? He plans ahead. How does he plan ahead? He digs two holes and he digs a third one. The third one, he digs ahead of time that's very thin. A layer that's very, very thin. Very thin. If you were to step on it, then you would, when you step on that, that's his escape route. You step on it, then it would collapse. But he keeps it there so you can't catch it. You try to, okay, I got him. Okay, let's see where he comes in. Okay, here. There's only one other hole over there. Let's plug that up. You plug that up, you pour water in, what's going to happen? Poop, it comes from, where is it? You don't know where to catch him. And he's gone. He's gone. So this tunnel that he makes, anything that, because the word munafiq, why are they saying, why did the Arabs call them munafiq? From the word, from the tunnel that this did, that's dug. Like, you have to, a munafiq is like that. Like, you don't know where, you don't know what kind of person, you don't know where. He says, very deceitful. Very deceitful, the most deceitful. And that's why they're the worst. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. They're the worst. Why? The kuffar, you know, like the non-Muslims, they just don't believe, right? And they might hate Muslims, but the munafiqun are the worst. Not only are they non-Muslims, but they also try to destroy Islam. And you know, if they destroyed Islam from the outside, you can tell. But they destroy Islam from the inside. You don't know where. You don't know. You don't think. You're looking at, like, you think he's your friend, but he's your enemy. Spend 6 years in your village and he's leading you in prayer. He's leading you in prayer. But every day he's trying to get information to destroy your town. So when it's time to attack, he already knows everybody. Who is the leader? Who do we capture? That's Sheikh right there. He talks a lot. Yeah. Let's get rid of him. How do you know? How does he know? How did he know that this person is like that? Immediately they grab. These are munafiqun, hypocrites. And that's why during time of Pol Pot, you know, the leader who killed, you know, Muslims and non-Muslims alike, when they came to the Muslim villages, they already knew. They already knew who to take. They took the imams, the people who are influential, and they're non-Muslims. Now how do they know? How do they know? They don't live with us. Yeah, but they're hypocrites. I've been with you. They're hypocrites. Munafiqun. Munafiqun. They're hypocrites. They, all the people who are influential in the village. So you have no more teachers left. Who are the teachers? Well, how do you know he was teaching? He wasn't even teaching in the masjid. He was teaching in the houses. Yeah, we know. Take him out. They took him out. There's no more teachers left. Killed them all. No more teachers. All the imams, the teachers, everybody. The first people to go, it was them. The village has no more leader. Only regular people. How did they know? They weren't even with us. They came in, they knew which house to go to. Why? Because the hypocrites were there before. Muslims who sell their deen. And you know when they sell their deen? They say that they're Muslims, but their actions nullify Islam. So even though they pray with you, they fast with you, when they see the money, they take the money and they're sellouts. Hypocrites. Now, they're very deceitful. You don't know who they are. You don't know where they are. Just like that little yarbur. Like, where is he? You cover here, like, all of a sudden, oh, there he is, gone. Next thing you know, he's already taken all the information from you. And so, the hypocrite, hypocrisy is one of the, you know, of course, that's why they're the lowest level in the hellfire. Because they're the worst. You think that they're Muslims, but they're not. So why are these two prayers? Why are these two prayers so difficult for the hypocrites? The reason is, number one, because it's difficult to go at nighttime. At nighttime, you don't want to go. It's dark. It's dark. Even for us, you know, sometimes some people don't like to go out and drive at night. And when it's dark, you don't want to go out. So just going to the masjid, is more difficult. For us, you know, you have headlights and everything. You have to understand the old days, you're walking. What else do you don't you have? For us, you might say, oh, you got a flashlight. I can see. No, there's no flashlights. They didn't have flashlights. If it wasn't the 13th, 14th, and the 15th, you don't see anything. Right? The moon is not full or the moon is not out. You look and you're like, where do I go? You can barely see things, especially Isha. When is Isha? When everything is dark. And at Fajr time, you can barely see anything. And so that's number one, because it's difficult to go. Number two, we mentioned already, it's because Isha and Fajr are prayed in the dark. And the hypocrites only come to show off, to let people see them. Why? For example, the person who leads, why is he trying to lead the people prayer? Why did he try to like be so humble? To earn your trust. Right? Why is he trying to be so humble? Why did he learn the Quran? To deceive you. Why did he lead you in prayer? He wants to lead you in prayer. Because he wants you to trust him so that you think he's a good Muslim. And then when you speak, you say, you tell everything. And then he already knows what kind of person you are. He already knows what kind of person you are. And so they take information and then they bring it back to the disbelievers. And so that's why even here in the United States of America, there are some people who come. I'm not telling you like, you know, those who, anytime you see somebody who would know that you should have this suspicion, no. You take precautionary measures, but at the same time, you know, you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't be suspicious of everybody. But there are some people who come. I remember, you know, sometimes somebody comes to me. I never seen them before, right? I've never seen them before. They come to me and they'll say like, they'll ask me questions that are very, very, you know, very sensitive, right? They ask you very questions that are very sensitive. And so, you know, if you don't know this person, you're like, these are sensitive questions. Why are you asking me? And I start asking them. He said, where are you from? So he says, it's from Texas. He says, okay, well, which masjid do you go to? So he goes, masjid do you go? Oh, I go to, you know, so and so masjid. He'll say something like, so and so masjid, right? It's a, you know, it's a big masjid, you know, in Houston or something like that. Then I go, oh, you mean that masjid, right? And I'll mention a masjid that doesn't exist. Yeah, yeah. And he goes, yeah, yeah, that's it. And then I know munafiq. Yeah, munafiq. I just made this up. Do you understand? I just made this up. You know, it's happened to me before. I just made up a masjid. I made up a masjid. I said, yes, that's the one. I said, the biggest one there? Yeah, yeah, that's the one. I already know, because there's no such masjid. I just made that up. And he goes, yes. Right? So you start, you know, when people lie, you start asking questions. And if they're lying, they forget what they said before. You can't cover all your lies. Right? You can't cover all your lies. So sometimes people will send, and this was during the Bush era. Remember that was the were spying on the Muslims and so forth. And so you have sometimes people coming and asking and these types of questions. Anyways, the hypocrites at night time, why do they come to the masjid? They come because of the dunya. And you know, when they're tired, it's number one, the first thing, it's very difficult. The second is they're showing off. And if they're trying to show off, if nobody can see them, then it's not worth it. Like, why do I need to go? It's like the purpose is to try to show people I'm a good Muslim. Right? The purpose is to try to show people that I'm praying with them. Right? So that they will trust me. They will believe me. And then I can spy on them. I can, you know, like they, once they believe me. But then if they can't see me, like, you know, I don't need to go. Then nobody can see anyone anyways. So there's no benefit for him. There's no benefit for him. So, hey, you know, I'm tired. They're just going to continue to sleep. And so that's one of, you know, that's why it's difficult for the hypocrites, especially during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, to come to the masjid during Fajr and during Isha. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Law ya'lamun," if they were to know, who are they? If they were to know, "Law ya'lamun al-munafiqun," if the hypocrites were to know, "Ma fihima," what is in Salat al-Isha and what is in Salat al-Fajr, meaning what the reward is and what the punishment for not doing it, right? The reward and punishment. That's why he said, "Ma fihima," in it, what's in it, in terms of the reward, in terms of punishment for leaving it. If they were to know, then la'atawhuma walaw habwa, they would come even if they had to come habwa. What is habu? Al-habu, you know, we translate it as crawling, right? But it's not really crawling. It's, you're crawling on your behind. You know, like some people, they crawl like this. They're sitting down. Can you walk when you're sitting down? Al-habu is walking on your behind. Walking on your behind. They don't even, you know, most people, you don't want to crawl like that on the ground, right? Because humans, like, do you want to crawl like that? No, what's the easiest way? I mean, what's the most, like, more respectable way? You don't want to go like this, right? That's babies. For adults, if, you know, an old man that wants to go somewhere, he's in the house, but he can't walk. What does he do? Does he crawl? How does he do it? He sits down, he goes like that, right? Right? Yeah, he moves forward. You don't crawl on it. Al-habu is mashi. It is walking on your dubur. So al-mashi al-duburi. So that's the type of that you're moving forward on, you know, like crawling on the ground like that. Not the crawling that we, you know, like you might some, you know, in English you might think about crawling. I don't even know what word, what's that? Well, I don't know the English word for it, like walking like that forward on your behind, with your behind. So anyways, but you see that old people do that, or people who are very sick, right? People who are very sick and they can't, you know, they don't have anyone to help them out. They can't walk. No one can help them out. So they walk on their behind and they just like sort of like crawl and not just move slowly, sitting down. Slowly, sort of like sitting down and moving forward that way. And so, لَأَتَوْهُمَا وَلَوْ حَبْوَى. Imagine, the hypocrite. He's so sick that he can't walk. He can't walk. He can't stand up. He has no one to help him. A hypocrite. If he knew what's in it, what's in Fajr, he would come like that. He would come like that. And that's a hypocrite with no faith, no iman. But how about a Muslim? How about a Muslim? We're Muslims. But then Fajr and Isha, we think, "Yeah, Allah, I'm so tired. Let me just go back to sleep." Go back to sleep. Or, "Yeah, tomorrow, inshallah. Tomorrow, inshallah." What does that mean? That means the reward is so great. So great that if a hypocrite were to do that, if you're not a hypocrite and you realize the greatness of this reward, you would, even if you had to crawl on your behind, you would do so. And a hypocrite would do so. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he emphasized it even more. وَلَقَدْ هَمَمْتُ وَلَقَدْ هَمَمْتُ. What is lam here? Lam is tawkeed. This is for emphasis. وَلَقَدْ هَمَمْتُ. Anytime you have وَلَقَدْ, there's a taqdeer, al-hadf, al-qasam. There is a swearing. That means there is a... There is a wallahi, or by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that indeed, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّمْتُ, and I wanted, the word ham is what? وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. Al-ham is something that you want to do. Al-ham is something that you want to do. Al-azima is something that you're convinced, you're convicted, you have, you're, it's not just wanting to do it, you've already committed to it. You've already made the decision to go. You've already committed to it. Alham, you're still on the border, but you want to, you're more likely to go. I do want to go. I do want to go. but you haven't made the commitment. Once you make the commitment, that means you're taking all the measures to do so. Now, let's say if you want to do something, let's say you want to take a vacation, right? If you still have hum, what do? You're still just thinking about it, right? You're still thinking. But once you have azimah, what do you start doing? That's when you buy your ticket. Like, you don't buy your ticket and say, I might not go. Yeah, especially, you know, like, okay, let me buy it. Unless some people, they might say, okay, I want to go, I might buy a flexible ticket. No, but you don't buy a ticket, a non-refundable ticket, unless you already made, you already plan to go, right? So that's azimah. Aham is you're still thinking about going. So, walaqad hamamtu, yes, I wanted to. I want to. This is what I want to do. And this is, of course, you know, when the person has ham, man hamma bihasana, whoever has a ham, a desire to do a good deed, he will have the reward. He will kutiba lahu. Allah subhanahu will write for him hasana wahida. Allah will give him one hasana, just having desire. You didn't even plan, you're just that desire to do good only. I want to do it. And you haven't even taken all the measures, anything yet. You already get one reward. And you know, if you take, once you have the conviction, you will get the full reward anyways, even if you don't do it. So just wanting to do a good deed and not even having that conviction yet. So you have alham is before al-azimah. And that one, al-azimah, you'll get the reward no matter what. And so he says, walaqad, indeed, this is with emphasis, that I surely, that I'm not, no, this is not something that, you know, I'm just like, you know, I really do. Like, I do want, but there's a reason why. And so here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, of course, here you say, walaqad, of course, anytime you have laqad, it means, it's usually followed by it follows a qasam, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. Allah swears by the sun and the forenoon, by the night, by the star, the moon and the night and so forth. And then he said, قَدَ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. قَدَ أَفْلَحَ. Then this is jawab al-qasam. This is indeed successful are those who purify the soul. And so, but sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes you have it without it also. Sometimes you have it with it, like for example, وَتِينِ وَالزَّيْتُونَ وَطُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ لَقَدَ خَلَقْ.